Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Joining me here at the round table, I welcome students from Florida High. Victoria Garcia is a junior, and she's into cheerleading, SGA, and cooking.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Janelle Cotton is also a junior, into cheerleading and SGA.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Ruby Castro, we're always glad to have her. She is a senior this year, and soccer, dance marathon, and SGA are her things.
Hi, guys. It's good to be back.
Welcome to all of you, and thanks for coming. Are we addicted to our smartphones? 77% of all Americans own a smartphone. Smartphone addiction has been described as the worst plague sweeping the world of technology. Smartphones may be shaping our personalities. The smartphone, the phone, computer, tablet, and other high-tech devices have become for many a best friend. Your smartphone and all those apps were designed to grab your attention, but now some in the tech industry say the gadgets have become too addictive. What do you think? That's what we're here to talk about, smartphones. Do you think today's technology has changed our daily lives? And if so, how? In what way? And I'm looking at you. You're in the hot seat. Janelle, so.
I definitely think they've changed our daily lives. We use them every day in school. Like, we use our homework. I do my homework on my phone all the time. I create Google Docs and just type up my papers right on my phone.
I personally don't enjoy using phones and computers as much. I mean, we use them every day like we have to because it's like mandatory. Like all of our homework is online. But that's something that I don't enjoy. Like when we switched from doing standardized testing on paper to computers, it really bothered me for some reason because I was always a person who wanted to do things on paper instead of on a computer.
Okay, I see you nodding your head. Do you agree with that too?
I definitely agree. I think it's just something about that piece of paper that, like, it's right there.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ruby?
When I go out, it's way different, like, now than it used to be. Like, when I was a little girl, I remember when everyone had flip phones. Like, you'd see people actually talking to each other. Like, when they went out to the park, like, they were engaged with one another. Or when they were out eating, like, their cell phones weren't out. They would just, like, have a good time just, like, interacting with one another. But now I go eat with my friends, and I just, like, look around, and everybody's on their phones. And I was passing by Lake Ella the other day, and my sister and I thought there was something going on because all these people were just walking on their phones, and we were just like, is there some special thing? But there wasn't. They were just walking around with their phones in their hands.
Well, you know, there have been several incidents of accidents where people were walking, looking at their phone. They'd step right out into the street and be so consumed with that phone that they were not aware of what was going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we are really into them. Do you think we are addicted, are becoming addicted to our smartphones?
I think we are, just because anytime you look at somebody or see someone random anywhere, they'll usually be on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't think it's right because there's so many, like, experiments that have, like, said that phones are, like, hurting our brains, hurting, like, just, like, physical things in our bodies. And, like, I think we are becoming addicted because most people will, like, the first thing that they think of to do if they're bored is pull out their phone.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I do it myself. You know, if I'm just sitting or if I'm waiting for something, I'll just pull my phone out. What do you think about addiction, Jeanette?
I think we're addicted to, like, as Ruby was saying, like, when I go out to dinner with my friends, like, they're all on their phones, and I was taught to, like, we have a sit-down dinner, everyone's engaged, talking to each other, but, like, you go out to other people's houses or your friends, and everyone's just on their phone, we're not even talking, and I think we are becoming addicted.
I'm not glad to hear that, but that validates my observation, because I always talk about, I know I was in, some restaurant, and adjacent to me was a young, I guess, couple, and he was on his phone, and she was on her phone, and it seemed like I was wondering, were they communicating with each other? Because there was very little really verbal interaction. So what you're saying to me just kind of validates it. Yes, communication patterns have definitely changed.
I think that we're just becoming desensitized to how we can communicate with one another, because now it's like we can kind of hide ourselves through a screen, and we can become like this. For example, with that couple, maybe like when they text each other, they sound like this amazing, like, outgoing people to one another. But when they're with each other, they just sit there and they're kind of just like, because when you're on a phone, like, because people don't even call each other anymore. That's how bad it's gotten. Like, I know, like, instead of calling people, be like, just text me, just text me, just text me.
But, and
like,
see, to me, calling is easier.
I personally don't agree with, like, texting as much. Like, even when, like, just now, I called Ruby instead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I texted her, she didn't respond, so I called her. Like, I just call everybody. Like, I call Gage every day. I call her sometimes. I call everybody. I just rather not text because.
Well, from my perspective, and you add your opinions, it is easier to call, because then when you text, you got to text, and then you got to text back, and then I may not know that you have texted me a reply, and it's just easy to discuss everything right then and there on the phone.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for some people, it might not necessarily be easier, if you understand what I'm saying. Because I know some people have problems communicating with one another. So, like, they'll, like, sit there and think about what they're going to text people, like, for, like, a good.
No, I don't mean texting is easier. I mean the calling is easier.
Yeah, but I'm like trying to say that, like, emotionally, maybe it's easier for some people to just, like, text because they can just, like, sit there and think about what they're about to write instead of, like, per se being on the phone. Like, people are just like, well, I want an answer now. And they can't really, like, say, like, oh, I don't know. So I just think that it depends on the person.
Yeah, comments.
I think it's harder to, like, communicate for some people, like you were saying, to communicate, like, by calling people on the phone because, like, we're very different nowadays. So, like, I don't have to always walk up to Ruby and talk to her. Now I can text her, so I don't have to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to have a whole conversation.
Well, what impact does that have on communication? Then we don't know how to communicate. Yeah,
I agree, because even now, like, I usually will call people and not usually text, but even I find myself, if I'm sitting in a room with somebody I don't know, I don't know how to speak to them because it's so uncomfortable to do. Because over text, you can say whatever you want. You're not in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're face-to-face with somebody, it's harder to speak to them because we don't have those kind of personal skills anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, some of the questions we ask are smartphones making us more stupid? Maybe in some ways. Maybe stupid might not be the word, but I mean we're not able to communicate, you're just saying. We don't feel comfortable in communicating. When did you get your first phone? Can you remember?
I got my first phone when I was about in seventh grade. And so I was a little bit older by the time I got my first one. But that was because I started doing cheerleading and I would always be in different sorts of places, so I had to have some way to communicate with my parents. It was never like a social media or get to like talk to my friends over my phone. It was a kind of I need to let my dad know where I am. I need to let my mom know where I am. So I mostly used it for that, and it wasn't – I had a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't an iPhone or anything like that.
What about you, Janelle? When did you
– I got mine in sixth grade. I think it was a Christmas present, and I have a twin, and so we had to both get it. Like, no, not one person was getting it. So we both got it. It was, like she said – for communication with our parents, because, you know, you're in middle school. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to call your mom, tell her to come pick you up. And also, it was the newer iPhone out, so it was just the hype. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, it's iPhone.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, I got my first phone when I was probably in sixth grade, and I remember my little sister having a like iPhone before me, and she was like in fourth or fifth grade, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. But like she had a phone before me, and I don't know, I didn't really use it. I just, because I had an older sister there, they just kind of bought it for me because like they felt bad that they had gotten my little sister one and like I didn't get one. And so they got it for me when I was in the sixth grade, and I broke it all the time. It was always broken, and I always got it fixed. And I just – it was kind of pointless because I never used it, really.
You didn't use it.
Only when my sister needed to, like, track me down, like, where I was at the school so she could go find me or something. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, I really didn't use it.
On the average, when would you say folks received their first phone today?
I feel like now kids get phones when they're, like – in like second or third grade.
Probably for some reason,
parents feel the need to give their children phones. Like, I've had young, like, infant babies come up to me and they take my phone from me and they will play on my phone.
They'll watch videos.
They'll play like games on my phone. And I'm just like, how did you learn how to do this? Yeah. You're like three.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous about how they can use a phone. Do you know, it takes me a while to learn how to use the new phones that we get. And they just know how to use them.
You are indeed correct. You're tuned into 411 Teen. This hour I'm talking with students from Florida High, and we are examining smartphone use. We're going to take a break, but will we return shortly? If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me I have students from Florida High. I again welcome Victoria Garcia, Janelle Cotton, and Ruby Castro. We've been examining the smartphones and their use. I guess when you first got your phone, of course, your parents paid for it. Do they still pay for it? Is that just because I know a lot of students pay for their own phone. So who pays for your phone?
My parents still pay for my own phone because I don't really have time to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So they just have to pay for my phone.
Oh, I don't pay for my phone. My parents have always paid for my phone.
On the average, Americans check their smartphones about every 12 minutes, and that's according to a recent tech company survey. How often do you check your smartphone? How often would you say you check it?
Every class period, pretty much.
Okay,
that's about 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's not every 12. No, it's not every 12 minutes.
I say I usually check it if I can, like, because I'm just looking for, like, texts from, like, my mom, my dad. That's usually what I still to this day use my phone for that. Like, I'll sometimes, like, check Instagram, but most of the time I'll just be looking for, like, an update from my mom or my dad and stuff like that.
What about you, Ruby?
I don't know. I check it. Like, I'm not even going to front. I check it a lot.
I could tell from the look on your face, you were like, well, I check mine a lot.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know.
What are you checking for? When you're checking, what are you looking for?
Well, sometimes I'm just in class, like, bored, and I don't really have any work that I have to get done.
You can use your smartphone in class?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we're not doing anything.
Okay. They usually allow us to.
Yeah. Or, like, if we have to look something up on our phones and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just, like, I'll pull it out sometimes, and I'll play, like, little games or a lot of times, like, my little sister, she'll, like, text me about stuff, like, hey, I need this, I need that. Or, like, I'll just have random people text me, like, they need things. And, like, I guess I'm usually the go-to person if you need something. So, like, I'm always looking. My phone's always vibrating. I'm like, oh, look at that.
Now, when you are checking yours every class period, what are you looking for, Janelle?
I'm looking for the time. Or I'm just looking for, like, oh, somebody Snapchatted me. Let me make sure I'm not losing this streak.
Do you feel, and this has been a comment that's been made by researchers, that the smartphone has become an extension of that person? I mean, how important is it to you?
I feel like people find their phones really important. Like, even me, like, I find my phone really important because, like, if I lost it, it's kind of like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, I have to, like, I can't play my music in my car. I can't play my music in my head, like, in my earphones. I can't call anybody. I can't text anybody. And I, like, and it's, like, it's kind of like a, you need it at this point. It's, like, a need. And especially for people who, like,
So it's not a luxury or anything. It's like a necessity.
A necessity, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like a little life story, honestly, because you take pictures on there, and you can find out a lot about somebody just by going through their phone. Just like, I don't know, I just think that a lot of people, like, invest so much time into their phone that, like, there's a lot of important things on there to people that, like, they just don't want to lose.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of memories. And, like, also, like, on my phone, like, my card information, like, all that stuff is on my phone. So if I lose that.
Oh, speaking of that, you can do Apple Pay now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's right. That's right.
I used to do that all the time. And then I was like, no.
What type of phone do you prefer? I mean, Android versus iPhone. I tell you, I just want to get a feel from, you know, where you all sit as far as the phones. I mean, some people are very much into Android. Some folks feel like the iPhone is the ultimate. Where do you sit?
I'm definitely an iPhone person. I don't like the setup of Androids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm an iPhone person, too, just because, like, it takes better pictures. It has better, like, storage, I guess. And, just the basic setup of the phones is a lot different, and the iPhone is easier to use than an Android.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same.
Okay. All right. Well, nomophobia is the fear of being without one's mobile phone, according to a survey conducted by Time magazine. And this survey consisted of 5,000 Americans. 84% of the respondents said that they couldn't last one day without their smartphones. I guess my question, nobody can see your faces. So my question to you is, how do you interpret this? What is going on? And can you last a day without your smartphone?
I definitely could, because I remember my phone, like, broke, and my dad, my phone breaks a lot. And so, like, my dad has to, like, place orders to get new ones, and, like, I've gone, like, weeks without a phone. And honestly, the only thing, like, I kind of stress out about sometimes is, like, work. If I don't have, like, a laptop accessible to me, like, it would just be, like, really easy for me to do homework on my phone, or, like, just, like, to call my sisters and, like, my parents. But other than that, like, it was fine.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Ruby. I mean, I think it's a problem if you can't go a day without your phone, because, I mean, the only reason I would get, like, I've gotten my phone, like, taken before for, like, a long time. In a long time, I mean, like, months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, for me, the only reason I would need it with, like, if I got it taken was to call my parents. And that would be aggravating because I didn't have a car. So that was the only reason I would get stressed out about not having my phone, is because I couldn't contact anybody to come pick me up or to, like, where I'm at. So that was kind of my only thing. But, I mean, if you took it from me right now, I mean, I'd probably be upset because you took it, but I wouldn't, like, freak out or have nomophobia.
Where do you sit on this, Janelle?
I've lasted a day without my phone before. It wasn't that bad. Just like they said, you can't, like, call anyone. And I don't have a car, so I can't just zoom off. So.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I mean, what I hear from you is that these phones are really a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a luxury, as we said earlier. It's all about, you really need this phone. And communication with parents is particularly important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, nowadays, I just feel like technology as a whole has gotten so advanced that, like, I live in Quincy, but I go to school in Florida High, so, like, I can just drive to Florida High. But if we didn't have cars or anything, I would just go to a school zone from my area, and I could honestly probably just walk home. Mm-hmm. But, like, now, like, if they did it, like, we have cars, so whenever I wasn't able to drive, if I didn't have my phone, I couldn't call my parents and tell them to pick me up and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it's just like it's dependent on technology as a whole, because the same with homework and stuff. If we didn't have computers and we didn't have these different types of just ways of submitting information, then we wouldn't be able to, like, really submit information through the internet or anything.
Yeah, and you're a senior this year. Mm-hmm. Have you started applying for college?
Yes, and it's all on the internet. And it's crazy because you don't really get to see what a person's like through that, because I just feel like there are some people that look very impressive on paper, but, like, in person, it's not the same. And I just think that it really gets an unfair glimpse of how, like, who a person really is and how hard they're willing to work and their aspirations and such.
I appreciate you sharing that, because I wanted to ask just how individualized it is doing it on your phone or on the internet. It seems like the process would be really quite different.
It is, and it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of information that they're requesting from you.
Give us some examples.
Like, you have to put your social security in. You have to put in what you want to be. They give you, like, three topics that you have to write about. Mm-hmm. And then you have to put in your grades when you're taking the SAT, what you got on the ACT and the SAT, and just, like, your address, like, who your relatives are. Like, did they go to college? Did they not go to college? Is your family, like, separated, or are they together still? And it's just, like, it's some questions that you don't think that they would ask either. Like, do you have a child? Or, like, yeah. And I'm, like, over here, like, no, I don't have a child, but okay. And it's just, it's really quite extensive. And I don't know. You can do different apps for different colleges, and some apps don't apply with other colleges. So you have to do, like, two separate apps to try to, like, applications to try to, like, fit the colleges you want to go to. So it's, like, I don't know. It's just a lot.
Mm-hmm. Have you all been exposed to applications yet, or anything that is now all on the internet as opposed to what?
Yeah. I've applied for, like, some things. It's not, like, college-based, but I have applied for some things where I have had to, you know, put in my social security, like, where I live and that kind of thing. And for me, I just find it uncomfortable because it's – anybody could see that. Like, if you're not on the right website, anybody could take that information and use it for whatever they want. And that's the bad part about, like, the internet, because you don't know if that site is safe or where your information's going, or if the information you're putting in is going to, you know, benefit you or end up you know,
in the wrong hands.
Like, yeah. Just like really screwing up your life or something like that. And so, I mean, I'll do it, but I'll usually have to like be like, Mom, is this okay? Like to put this in here, mm-hmm. or should I just like wait for you to look at it? And so it's just nerve wracking being like having to put in like your identity into the computer.
I saw you nodding your head. So you must be in agreement. You feel the same way, Janelle? Or
yes.
What experiences have you had?
One of the guidance counselors was actually telling us how like some scholarship like websites, they like ask you questions that they shouldn't ask you, like your social security number, like sometimes your card number, and like that's like they're scamming you. Like you're trying right. to put your essay in for the scholarship and they're asking you all these questions that they don't need to be. So that's the scary part about technology.
And how do you handle that? I mean, have you received advice as to how to handle that type of situation?
Yeah, she was just telling us signs to look for, like stuff like that. Like, why would you need your card number
right.
for something
That's true.
Like that?
That's true. Well, what we see really is that smartphones are really terribly useful. We can pay bills with them. We can share videos and photos, calendars and calculators and research. So it is a real integral part of our lives. But how do you, because all of you seem like you're able to remain somewhat unattached, even though you are so connected, how do you do that? Because you all, you know, in looking at the research and comparing you all to the research that's out there, y'all are not typical. Okay? Typical teens are really literally looking, this is what research is saying, at those phones around every 12 minutes on the average, okay? And it seems like they are really kind of tethered to those phones. You know, they need the phone. And we'll talk about this, but when we come back from our break, they found that how students relate what happens when they don't have their phone. But how do you remain unattached yet still connected? Because all three of you seem to be able to do that. And I think that's something that's really quite unique for your, you know, your generation, and your peers are not doing that. Are you observing that you have friends that use those phones more? Okay,
yes.
So you do see yourself as different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tell us how.
Well, okay, so kind of like what Janelle said, my family will eat dinner all together, and
okay.
we will not allow phones at the table most mm-hmm. of the time. We'll usually just like not turn them off, but like put them to the side and just have like conversations with each other. So that kind of helps with like having to conversate with other people. Also, like if I remember most people's phone numbers, like the important people and like I need to contact. So if I don't have my phone, I can usually use like a landline and call them if it really need be. And it's like I don't freak out if I can't find, like if I can't call somebody.
Okay.
I just try and like, well, they'll figure it out eventually that I'm not at this place or I'm not going to show up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find out. Like
mm-hmm.
I just don't stress out about it. But I feel like most people, like if they can't talk to somebody or like if they can't have their phone in front of them to look at something, they'll like freak out. And it's not as big of a deal as it would seem.
I don't think I'm invested enough in my phone. To like,
no, because you break it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, people treat their phones like it's like a baby, and it's a phone, it's an object, and I think that people are investing more time into their phone than, like,
but why is this happening?
I think it's because you can do so many things on your phone. It's just, there's such a, like, wide variety of things that you can do on there. Like, you can draw on your phone, you can play games on your phone. You can write assignments on your phone. You can search things up on your phone. You can watch videos on your phone. You can talk to people on your phone. There's just so many things you can
mm-hmm.
do. And I think that's why people are like typically attracted to them, because you can't really get bored, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the norm now, because one of my teachers,
good point.
We like, you can sit your phone on the table, and she's not good. She said she will never be upset if you check your phone, because she said, how can I, if adults can't check their phones in meetings, how can I expect you to not check your phone through a whole class period? And I think that's okay. A very good point, because sometimes you don't even think about it. You just kind of just pick up the phone and just, like, maybe look at the time or look at your notifications. You don't think. You just don't think about it.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But I know some schools require that the phone be off and you don't use it during class at all.
Well,
I don't know. But anyhow, respond.
I think that schools that do that can expect everybody to really turn off their phone and not use it. I mean, there's teachers at Florida High who would tell you to put it away.
Okay. So they are.
They don't put it away.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
and bound they don't to put happen. Their own away, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And well, it's not even that. It's like, if a teacher asks you to put away your phone, it's like, why would I do that? Like, it's that kind of a reaction sometimes. Like, if a teacher tells me to put away my phone, if I'm actually, like, trying to do something, I'm going to just keep it out. And usually that's what most students do. Like, they just won't put it away, or they'll take it back out. Even if it, like, we do get a consequence, we'll just do it again and again and again.
I'd like to know, when we come back, what would be the consequence if you don't do it? You're tuned into 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? We are talking about smartphones. And, Victoria, you just said about the consequence, and you didn't really care about the consequence. I wanted to know what would be the type of consequence that you would receive.
So some teachers will usually just take the phone and keep it for the rest of the day.
Oh.
Others will turn it into, like, our administrator who does that kind of thing. And then she'll keep the phone for the rest of the day, and you'll also get a referral for the day. And so that's a bigger consequence, because it goes on your record and stuff like that. So most of the time, just people don't want to listen, and they'll just keep their phone out. They'll keep playing that game. They'll keep texting that person. They'll keep Snapchatting, because honestly, they don't care. They really don't care. And especially if they know that teacher's just going to keep it for the rest of the day, like, who cares? They're just going to keep it for the rest of the day. We'll get it back at the end of the day and catch up.
So that means that they can go without it during the day at school. That's what I hear you say.
I mean, it just depends on the person. Like, some people will just not care, and then they'll get it taken away and be mad for the rest of the day. And that's usually how it goes. Like, they'll just be very upset for the rest of the day, which comes in with, like, if you weren't attached to your phone, you wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, mm-hmm. Okay, they took my mm-hmm. phone. Okay.
Some teachers give detentions, or
So it's not really allowed. Yeah. They just kind of overlook it. Okay. Well, see, I had a different perspective. I was thinking it was allowed and you could do whatever you wanted with it.
No, some people give detention. Sometimes they'll just take it and give it back at the end of the period. And sometimes it's not always good, because it's showing that it's just, like, you know, that it's not that big of a deal, in my opinion. You're just, like, kind of taking it for the moment and then giving it back.
Well, how do you feel about that? I mean, do you really feel like smartphones should be used in class when you're supposed to be there for educational purposes?
I think that phones, like, I don't think teachers should say that there are no phones allowed, just because that makes kids want to get on them more, because they feel like, well, I'm going to do whatever I want. And so usually if a teacher says, you guys can have your, like, don't have your phone out the whole time, but if you need to check your phone, that's fine. Like, that will usually, like, limit the amount of phone use in the classroom because they can set it up on a table, and if they get a notification, they can just flip it over, see if it's important, flip it back over if it's not. And usually that limits the amount of attention that the teacher gets. But at the same time, if the teacher tells them you can't have it out at all, they'll just sneak it and then just, like, sit there texting instead of...
But that's so obvious. I mean, you can tell what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean,
well, about that, I feel like people have gotten a lot better at just hiding their phones because there are some people that can hold their phones in their laps, text, not even look at the screen, look at the teacher and text.
I mean, I'm one of those people.
Really? Like, there are some people that just know that keyboard backwards and forwards. They can just text while they're looking at the teacher. Mm-hmm. And it's like, me personally, I have to be like this close to the keyboard and I'm like, okay. But like, it just amazes me how like people have adapted to their like environments almost. Like, they know that their teachers are like, don't have your phone out. So they have to like learn how to not like be obvious about having their phones out. It's just crazy.
Are there situations that you think that one does not have to have, and I don't mean just school, does not have to use their smartphone? I'll start with you, Janelle. Are there situations where you think, you know, it's appropriate to ask someone to turn their phone off for whatever?
I definitely think, like, if you have a job, I don't think it's appropriate to have your phone out. If you're applying for a job and we're having an interview, you're not just going to, like, sit there and text somebody if you're trying to get a job. I don't think that's
okay.
Yeah. Just kind of like in a professional settings. Like, professional settings, you shouldn't be sitting there texting. It just shows, like, just you're not professional. Like, I wouldn't sit in front of a teacher having a meeting and text the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, if I really had to, I would say, I need to text my mom. She's really just like, she needs me for a second. And that's how you would carry on with something like that. But just if you're, people should be able to realize when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate, and they don't.
I don't know. For me, it's like church, weddings, or like funerals. Yeah. I don't know how many times I've heard people's phones go off. And you'd expect them to just like end the call. Mm-hmm. But some people will answer them.
And not, yes.
And you can hear them talking. And it's just so like a setting where you should be respectful and understand like where you are. But people have just become desensitized by everything now that they just don't care. They're going to answer that call. They're going to text that text.
Well, I'm laughing because what made me ask you this question is just a couple of days ago, one of my daughters is a physician, and she told me how a patient comes in. Now, this patient is concerned or sick enough or whatever to go to the doctor, but she gets in the examining room, and she pulls out the phone. And she said she just told her, you need to put your phone away. I mean, and so I just wondered how you felt about that. You know, are there certain times where we don't need to have our phone?
I mean, I personally feel like, because I've seen that happen, like whenever I go to the hospital and stuff for my CNA program, like I've just seen that happen where like people will be sitting and they'll make their symptoms seem so bad, like I'm about to die, but yet they're sitting on their phones just nonchalantly, just like while the doctor's in there trying to like help them, they're just they're continuing on their phone. It's like, is your phone gonna cure you?
Yeah. Okay. Although we're talking about what's happening in the U.S., Asian countries are experiencing serious, what they call smartphone addiction problems. Countries like China and South Korea. In Japan, they have internet fasting camps for kids who are involved in participating on their phone continually. So they now have these camps where they have to participate in outdoor activities. And they have counseling. And You know, do you think we're at that point?
Now that you mentioned it, I just realized a decline, that there is a decline in, like, athletics and such, because I just remember being little and watching my older sister play at our high school on a varsity team, and I just look at them play. I was like, wow, they're amazing. And now I see, like, the girls, like, in our area in general, and I played travel as well, so I'll see girls from other places too, and it's just not at the same level, and you wonder why, but it's because they are decreasing their time outside. And I know that my sister and her friends, they would always be outside, always practicing. They were, like, even just for fun, whenever they wanted to do something for fun, they'd just be like, oh, let's go to the soccer field and play some soccer. And I think that that just plays a really big role in how we do athletic-wise, or, like, how we just see the outside in general. Because I was raised outside, playing outside. So if I'm not outside for at least a little bit, I'll get kind of weirded out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Going off of Ruby, people, like, nowadays, they'll, like, want to go to places, and it's like, oh, yeah, let's go to, like, Railroad Square. But they're going to Railroad Square just to take pictures.
To take pictures. Oh, my goodness.
Like,
oh,
let's go take cute pictures, and then let's go back to the house.
To check out Railroad Square.
They're not going to actually enjoy where they're going. They're going for the aesthetics.
Yeah.
And to get the pictures and to prove that they were there and then post it on, like, Instagram and Snapchat, which I just think is ridiculous. Like, how can you go somewhere
so glad you
and
brought
then
that up.
Not know what happened because you just took a picture?
Well, and what I don't understand, I mean, I'm old school, so y'all can advise me, okay, is who cares what your dinner looks like?
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Is it just me? But I'd see people, well, I'm here, and they took a picture of the dinner.
I eat my food too quickly.
I was going to say something about that earlier, about how people – I think that a big reason about why people are on their phones all the time is because they want to be up in people's business. And then they get upset about people's business, and then they just want to, like, one-up them, so they post something on their social media. And it's kind of like – it's like a back-and-forth competition with them. And I don't know. Whenever you were talking about, like, an appropriate or inappropriate place to, like, have your phone, I was going to say amusement parks. Like – I think that if you need to call your family because you get lost in that amusement park, that is completely reasonable.
Okay.
But most of the time you're either with, like, you're with your day, or you're with your friends, or you're with your family, and you're not going to leave each other for the whole day and, like, just, like, disappear. Like, that's not how it works. You're going to be with each other the entire time. What's the point of you having your phone out? And it's just, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Because I know whenever my family and I go on a trip like that, we usually just – we really don't look at our phones. We don't really take pictures. And we just enjoy the moment. I feel like pictures are such a burden. When people are like, let's take a picture, I'm just like, yay. But no, like, I don't like taking pictures. Like, if you see my Instagram, I don't post a lot because I don't take enough pictures to be posting that much.
Well, you all validate me. Because some of that stuff, I'm just like, I'm missing it. It's like, whoop, went over my head or something. I just didn't understand the significance of how important it is for me to know what's on your dinner plate. Mm-hmm. Some of you feel the same. Feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just unnecessary. Like, why do I have to know where you are every second of the hour?
Yeah.
Like, it's sometimes it's too much. Mm-hmm. And now on my phone, like, it was kind of scary. Like, it knew, like, my location. It knew I was going at the time. 8:00 in the morning, I'm going to Florida High. My mom's, it would be like, okay, you should take this way to work because it's easier. Like,
and scary. Like, on Instagram and... Because I really don't get on social media as much as whenever, like, social media first came out, like Snapchat and Instagram, I used to get on it a lot. But now it's just kind of like – it's like I've realized – I don't know if it's with time or, like, age or whatever, but I've realized how pointless. It really is. And whenever I do go on it, like when I'm really, really, really bored, I'll just like see these notifications.
Oh, yes.
And I'm at Starbucks. I'm at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And like the one closest to Florida High has a McDonald's and like a Jersey Mike's. And I'll just be scrolling through my Instagram. I'll see Starbucks. Okay, I'm going to scroll through Jersey Mike's. I'm going to scroll through McDonald's. I'm like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like they just like put these ads like targeting where you are. And like it just – it amazes me.
Well, according to a 2018 study by Jean Twinge and a psychology professor at San Diego State University, the more teens spend in front of screens, the less happy they are. Some of the negative side effects are anxiety and depression. What responsibility do you feel that the app developers have? And I say this because they have created millions and millions of apps available both to Android and to iPhone. All of them are competing with each other. The more time you spend on an app, the more companies will pay, you know, to advertise on them. That's how it works. Do you feel like the app developers have a responsibility because they developed these apps to hook you in?
Mm-hmm. They did. I just think that going back to the anxiety and depression type of thing, I just think that people are too worried about what other people are doing and trying to be better than other people. And I know celebrities a lot of times post stuff on social media, or like just people that are considered famous, like YouTubers or like just all these different people. And I think that people believe that they have to look a certain type of way. I know that this has always been like a thing throughout history, but I just think that social media has really brought it out to like everyone, like reach every corner of the planet. Just this is how you should look. And if you don't look this way, then you're not accepted by society. Mm. And it's just, I think that just a lot of that comes, or like just like social, like bullying on social media, people will call each other out, and it's a lot easier for them to do it because they're behind a screen. And it's easier because they're also not having to go wherever that person is. They're at the comfort of their home. And it's just a way, like, too many things to even talk about that social media can do to bring you down.
Okay.
It just – stuff like that, like seeing other people who just are in – their eyes like are so much better than you, like you feel that way, and every time you see them it's like it breaks you down even more. And it just, it contributes to the depression, anxiety that people feel. Like I know that I sometimes, like I'll be on Instagram and I'll see something like that, a celebrity post, and I'm like, wow, like why can't I be like that? But then I realize that's ridiculous because that would never happen. And so it's like, some people can't do that for themselves. Like, they can't say, yeah, that's ridiculous. Instead, they, like, break themselves down and feel worse about themselves. Like, for me, I just don't let it get to me. But I know there's certain people out there who will feel like, wow, I just must suck, you know?
I think so many people are, like, insecure and obsessed about the phone that they can't even, like, Victoria was saying, like, be like, this is not true, this is not me, like a lot of the times I don't even have time to look at the phone like that, to look at somebody's page and be like, wow, I wish I was. I mean, you always have those like role models that you want to be like, but sometimes people take it to another level when they're like on their phones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, some of us invest more time into our smartphones than in our personal relationships. 50% of Americans keep their smartphones with them during sleep, like a security blanket. You know, we'll close on that note, but I just wanted you to think about that. A special thanks this hour. I've been talking with Victoria Garcia, Janelle Cotton, and Ruby Castro, students at Florida High. Appreciate you sharing your time. To my listening audience, thank you for your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.